Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight, and praise the Lord for the campers and the testimonies that we heard, and what a blessing it is as you pray for the young people here at the church and you support them and the youth department, and you hear testimonies like that. That ought to cause you to just want to shout for joy and rejoice over how God is still working in the lives of young people. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, look with me to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. I am aware of time and very thoughtful of that. And next Sunday night, we're going to get back into our regular series on Sunday nights. We've been going through on the divisions of the Bible. And it's important that we understand the divisions of the Bible and why we have every book of the Bible. We'll get back into that next Sunday night. I was aware of the testimonies tonight. And so I believe this is a message that God would have us to hear this evening. 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God, starting in verse 10, and we'll read down to verse 15. I'm going to move very quickly tonight, so kind of get get ready for it, and get your pen and paper ready, write it down if I go too fast for you. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible says this, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight, we thank you for the privilege of being back in church. Thank you for camp and all the good testimonies and all the decisions that were made. And now, Father, as we look to this passage of Scripture, I believe that you have a message for each one of us through this. I pray that you would give us all that ear to hear and a heart to make an application, whatever that might be. I pray that you'd empower the preaching of thy word once again this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we know that the great apostle Paul had been mentoring young Timothy. Now, he writes his last epistle to Timothy, the last letter that Paul would write that was inspired by God in the Bible would be 2 Timothy. Now, we believe that he wrote Hebrews as well, but as far as in order, and the last of his writings, the last book before Paul died was 2 Timothy. A second letter to young Timothy, one that he had been mentoring. And he addresses Timothy in chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. He also, in verse 5 in chapter 1, he reveals how Timothy had been raised by his mother, Eunice, and his grandmother, Lois. Evidently, there was not a father involved in the raising of Timothy. And God brought Paul alongside of Eunice and Lois in order to help raise Timothy. They were preparing Timothy, not only his mother and his grandmother, but now Paul is working alongside of them, and they were preparing Timothy for life and, more importantly, for eternity. I mean, praise the Lord for learning the Scriptures and how we ought to live this life. But as we learn the Scriptures and we apply the Scriptures to this life, can I tell you, there's going to be persecution. Paul very clearly reveals that to Timothy. It's not an easy thing to do to stand against the wild ways of the world. It's not an easy thing to do to stand for Christ and to have a testimony that he will use to impact other people's lives. In society, we are fighting an uphill battle. I mean, the stream of how people are being raised and how they want to live their life is opposite that of Christianity today, even in America. It's not going to be an easy task, but it's a task that God is pleased with. And not only will he bless you here in this life, but more importantly, it is preparing us for eternal life. So they were preparing Timothy for this life as he would become a pastor and eternity. I believe that every wise and loving parent will do the very same thing. They want them to be introduced to a creator God, not made up religion, not man's philosophy of how we should live our lives and that man's philosophies of what's going to take place after this life. The one who knows, and it is true, it is going to be exactly how the Bible reveals it. So before Paul would depart this world, he would admonish Timothy. 1 and 2 Timothy. We can all glean from that. But especially here in 2 Timothy in chapter 3, in verse 14, he says this, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Where have we developed our thoughts on life? Where have we developed our convictions? Is it based on personal preference? Is it based upon religion? Is it based upon the world? Or is it based upon the words of God? And he says, "And that from a child thou hast known." You've been raised, Timothy, to understand the Bible. The Bible has not changed. What his mother and what his grandmother and then what Paul came alongside of them to teach him was the very same thing. The Bible does not change. God's word does not change. "And from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." Why would you depart from that? "Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." For just a few minutes here, I want to preach a message to you that I've entitled, "Just Live Out What You've Learned." Basically, that's what Paul is telling Timothy, and he was so concerned that before he would die, he would want to write this last letter to Timothy. Now, he was under the inspiration of God because it's something that all of us need to have. And he would tell Timothy to live out what you've learned. You have the scriptures and you have the example of godly influences in your life. You have the godly influence of a mother who wanted you to turn out right. You have the godly influence of a grandmother that likewise wanted you to turn out right. And God brought an apostle Paul into your life. What a blessing. God brought an apostle Paul into Timothy's life, and Paul wanted the very same thing for Timothy to turn out right. Paul mentioned several things about what he would encourage Timothy to do and to live by. The top three, I believe, is what we're going to be looking at tonight in chapter 3 as we looked here in verse 10. "But thou hast fully known my doctrine." The doctrines of the Bible will never change. Generation changes, philosophies change, churches change, people change. God's word will never change. It was the same back in the beginning, it's the same today, and it will be the same forever, evermore. Past, present, and future, no matter how far back you look, no matter how far in the future you look, the word of God will remain the same. God changes not. God changes not. His will for us does not change. His word does not change. Doctrine is what we need to understand is the very words of God. That which is taught. Doctrine is that which is taught. That which is taught by the Bible. His mother wanted him to understand the Bible. His grandmother wanted him to understand the Bible. Paul came alongside of them. He wanted Timothy to understand the Bible. And he says, "But continue thou Continue in those things that you have learned, knowing, it says, and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. The Holy Scriptures are doctrines, and doctrines matter. They always have, they always will. This church wants to help everyone to know what the Bible says. That's why we want to stay a Bible-centered, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching Baptist church. You look at the history of Baptists. You look at the doctrines of the Baptists, and they have not changed. The Baptists have never been a part of the so-called mother church, a Catholicism. We are not Protestants. Protestants means that you come out of the Catholic Church. We are not Catholic. We are not Protestants. We are Baptists. And the Baptist doctrines go all the way back to Jesus Christ, who the forerunner, John the Baptist, presented. Doctrine, it's the same, hadn't changed. Live out what you've learned. Don't be ready to change. Don't listen to those who would teach you anything different than the Bible. The world and religion are preaching the doctrines of man today. He even warns Timothy about that. When you look in verse 3 and verse 5, verse 1, he says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection." That is, it's just taking over society. Unnatural affections. Without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, no self-control, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Those that want to just continue to live as we have been taught, as we have been raised, as what the Bible says, are the ones now to try to make out to be the bad guys. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, Timothy, from such young people, turn away. Turn away. The world has never been more dead set on establishing the laws and the philosophies of man over the laws and the teachings of the Bible. Yeah. Young people, live out what you've learned. Continue in Bible doctrine. Know why you believe what you believe and hold on to it. He says a second thing here. Not only does he say, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine," but manner of life. How we live should not contradict our doctrine. We need to judge our lifestyle by what the Bible says, instead of changing the Bible to agree with our lifestyle. Who are we to change God's word? Can I tell you, you might think you're changing God's words, and you might even choose to go to a church that believes how you want to believe, but if it's not according to the word of God, you haven't changed anything. You are deceived, and you've been deceived, and you're deceiving others. Because God's word will not change. And our manner of life needs to go along with and agree with what the Bible says. We need to change our lifestyles to be in agreement with the Bible. If God's word, if we have God's word, it's the mind of God, the Bible is the very words of God, who are we to want to change it? If God is who he says he is, and he is the creator of all things, and we all will stand before an almighty God at some point, and we will give an account of ourselves then we had better make sure that what we believe and how we are living our lives is in agreement with the will of God. So Paul's last letter before he would die, knowing that Timothy, God had a purpose for Timothy's life. He'd been taught the word of God. Live out what you've learned. Live out the doctrine that you know is Bible. Live a manner of life that is consistent with what the Bible teaches. 1 Thessalonians, let me just read this to you. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5 and verse 21. Prove all things. Make sure of it. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a promise that God said will take place if we prove all things, hold fast that which is good, and abstain from all appearance of evil. If there's a question whether it's good or not, stay away from it. If it's a question, if it pleases God or not, then err on the side of caution. Don't do it if you're not 100% sure this is the will of God. If you're questioning the will of God, more than likely, it's a devil trying to blind you to the will of God. Prove it. Make sure that it's in agreement with the Bible. Doctrine, manner of life, and then last, purpose. Why am I here? Why this physical life when heaven is going to be so much more? Why would God want me to live this life when I'm going to have a glorified body in heaven? I'm not going to have to struggle with a sin nature in heaven. I'm not going to have battles to fight in heaven. What is my purpose? Jesus answered that. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to glorify the Father. He understood the will of God, that all humanity would have an opportunity to be saved, that all humanity would have a witness, that all humanity would have an example of what pleases God. And he sent his only begotten Son. But it was only temporary. For some 33 years. Can I tell you, God has sent each and every one of us. We have heaven to look forward to. But you'll not be able to accomplish in heaven what God has you here on this earth to accomplish. You're here as a light of the world. We're a light shining in a dark place. Paul says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But as long as I'm in this body, I'm going to live for Christ. In closing, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If we truly believe in God, the Bible, and eternity, then our purpose in life is settled. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8, we are troubled on every side. You're going to be facing troubles if you're looking to God yet not distressed. We are perplexed. Yeah, there's going to be times in this life you're going to be perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, yes, he's promised it, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. We're going to go through some difficult times. And teenagers, when you make a commitment to serve God, I guarantee you, you have angered the devil, and he's going to send every demon and every kind of trial in your way to try to discourage you from living for Christ. But living for God is better. You might have to go through some troubles on every side, but you will not have to be distressed. You might have to be perplexed, but you're not going to be in despair. You will face persecution, but not forsaken. You will be cast down from time to time, but you will not be destroyed. And then he says it in verse 10. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Realize why we're doing it. Why we're here. We represent Christ. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. Once you receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, then you were bought with a price. And yes, you have everlasting life, and you have a heavenly Father. You have a Holy Spirit dwelling within you, but you have a responsibility to represent Him. The purpose that you have as somebody that got saved is a Christian life. Whatever that is, whatever God calls you into, whatever your future plans, whatever God's purpose for your life is, in whatever it is, in every stage, God says, I want you to be a Christian. I want you to be a Christian representing Christ as a teenager. I want you to be a Christian college career young person. I want you to be a Christian wife. I want you to be a Christian husband. I want you to be a Christian whatever your field of life. But we are here to represent Jesus Christ. Continue. Live out what you've learned. Because it will impact somebody else's life. Live out all that you've taken in this last week. Praise the Lord for Brother Gaddis. He just gave you the Word of God. You have learned more about God, His will for your life. You've made decisions, commitments. Be determined. Live out what you have learned. If I could have everybody bow your heads for just a few minutes. Close your eyes. Think about what you've just heard. It's a Bible message. It's what Paul wanted Timothy to know before Paul would part this world. Live out what you've learned. Doctrine, manner of life, have a purpose for your life. Father, we bow before you now. We do love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for each one of these young people tonight, decisions they've made, wanting to give a testimony before this congregation. Thank you for every member of this Lighthouse Baptist Church. Thank you for how they have been able to influence all the children that attend and are raised through this church. Help us, each and every one, to live out, not to change, not to turn away from, but to live out what we have learned from the very words of God. Bless now in this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray.